And, you know, right now at this moment, everybody has within them what they need to do that work. Now, there may be some external training that needs to take place, but right now, each one of you are equipped to follow God. Amen? And whatever He asks of you, you can do. Because He wouldn't ask you if you couldn't do it, and when He asks you, He enables you to do it. And you can just ask Moses how well it goes when you argue with God. When you try to tell God why you can't do what He's asking you to do, just ask Moses, you know, how'd that go over? God started to get angry. When you try to give reasons to tell God why you can't do what He's telling you to do. Amen? Well, you know, God has given us two important things that we need to do what He's called us to do. One is His Word, all right? His Word is His primary way that He reveals Himself to us. The Word of God. Jesus was the Word made flesh. And He's given us His Holy Spirit. I'd like you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. And we're going to get into how we can cooperate with the Holy Spirit. How many want to cooperate with the Holy Spirit? And it's important that we cooperate with Him. In John chapter 14, and we'll start with verse 15, and we're going to read to verse 21. Jesus is talking here, and He says, "If you love Me, do what?" So keeping God's commands is proof of your love for Him, right? So we gotta, if we love God, then we gotta keep His commands. And if we do this, He said, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter." Say another comforter. What that really means is one just like me, with the same nature, the same substance, the same divinity. How many know that Jesus is God? Amen? And God is, we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Okay? The Trinity, the triune God. So when you love God, He's going to give you another comforter. Now that word comforter, the Amplified says, strengthener, standby, advocate, helper. All right? So Jesus is going to pray the Father, and He's going to give you another comforter that He may what? Abide with you for how long? So the Holy Spirit, now that God the Son completed His work, now the Holy Spirit's going to be with you forever, okay? And He goes on to say, even the Spirit of what? So He is the Spirit of truth. He wrote the truth, amen? He always testifies to the truth. Whom the world cannot receive. What does a person need to be in order to receive the Holy Spirit? A believer, they need to be saved, born again. That's the only requirement to receive the Holy Spirit, right? Okay? The world cannot receive Him because it sees Him not, neither knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and shall be where? So, let's read on before I go on. Jesus said, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Yet a little while, the world sees me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. And that at that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. I want you to notice that how Jesus, the relationship that Jesus had with his Father, we need to have with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. He said, I and the Father are what? One. They're in perfect harmony, perfect agreement, and perfect unity. Now, we need to be that way with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Because notice what Jesus said. He's talking here about the Holy Spirit. And he said, in that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and that you in me, and I in you. There's a divine exchange. He that has my commandments and keeps them. Notice it, there's two things. You got to have his commands and you got to keep them. If all you do is have his commands but you're not keeping them, then you're out of balance. Okay? He it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. How many want God to manifest himself to you? Well, it's about how you love God. It's about how you fall in love with Jesus, how you fall in love with his word, how you fall in love with the Holy Spirit. Your love is going to determine his manifestation. Okay? So we've been talking about works, right? Jesus, we need to be about the Father's business. Say, God's got some business for me to take care of. What priority should God's business be? Should it be a side job? No, we don't serve God part-time. Doesn't matter what we do in life, God comes first. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first, what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things will what? Be added unto you. The problem is, when God is any other place other than first place, our lives will be messed up. God requires, demands first place in our life. So in order to be about the Father's business, we're going to have to learn how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. If he's given us another comforter, then we need to know how to cooperate with him. Because if we can't cooperate with the Holy Spirit, then we're not going to be able to do the works, because it's really the Holy Spirit doing the works. How many has ever prayed for someone for healing? Let me ask you this question. How did that healing work? I'm not asking if they got healed or not. I'm asking you to explain the dynamics of healing. I don't know how healing works. Do you? I can't explain it to you. All I know is I believe God heals. See, God doesn't want me to explain how healing works. He just wants me to believe that he heals and let him do the work. Doesn't that take the pressure off? You don't have to understand the dynamics of healing in order for healing to work. All you have to do is believe that he heals. How does a person get saved? We know that if they confess with their mouth and believe in their heart, they'll be saved, right? But how does that work? I don't know how it works. All I know is that I believe that Jesus is a Savior. If I believe that Jesus is a Savior and I share Jesus with someone, I believe that they have an opportunity to be saved. I don't have to know how it works. I just have to believe that it does work. God doesn't need you to understand the dynamics. He just wants you to have faith in him. Amen? If you have faith in him, let him do the work. Let him bring it to pass. How are you going to do it? I don't know. It doesn't matter. I just know that he does. I just know that it's so. I just know that he's a savior. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. He's a provider. Amen? I don't have to understand how it works. I just have to believe it does. Okay? What does it mean to cooperate? It means to assist. It means to lend a hand. It means to work together. Are you and the Holy Spirit on the same team? Are you? Well, then you got to learn how to work together, right? Jesus said, I can do nothing of myself. Now, if Jesus said that, then guess what? You and I can't do anything of ourselves either. Why doesn't God want you to be able to do things of yourself? If we can do it ourselves, then who gets the glory? We do. Look at me! Look at me! No. God doesn't want people to look at you. He wants people to look at him. Okay? To cooperate means to collaborate. Part of what the Holy Spirit does, he'll show you the future. He'll show you things ahead. This happened once in my life. When I was at Lee University, I got involved with a group called Pioneers for Christ. The very first meeting that I went to, I'm sitting on the front row. There's maybe about 20 people in the group. Sitting on that front row, I knew that I was going to become president of that group before I was ever elected. And sure enough, next semester I was elected vice president, and the semester after that, guess what? I was elected president. How did I know that? The Holy Spirit was showing me things to come. Okay? Because that was part of God's plan for my life, because God sent me there. So you got to collaborate with the Holy Spirit. If he's your guide, then you need to let him guide you. How many's ever been on a guided tour of something? What does the guide do? He points out things. He gives you the history or the background or the importance of it, right? And he takes you through. Well, the Holy Spirit is your guide. He wants to take you through life. He wants to point out the important things that God has as part of you. He wants to show you things. He wants to reveal God's secrets to you. How many know that God's got some secrets? But it's through the Holy Spirit he will reveal his secrets to you. Isn't that awesome? Okay. So we got to collaborate with the Holy Spirit. We got to combine forces. Are you stronger or weaker with the Holy Spirit? He represents God's power. You shall receive power after who comes on you? The Holy Spirit. Notice he's a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not an it. He's a person. How do I know that? The Bible says, don't grieve the Holy Ghost. That tells me he's got characteristics that can be grieved. You've got to pool resources. Is there any resource that the Holy Spirit lacks? He was at creation. He was hovering over the waters waiting for God to speak, because his job is to activate the Word of God. When God speaks, he brings life to what God says. So you got to pool resources with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is tangible. He is just as real as electricity. And you can use electricity for a lot of different things, can't you? And there's certain things that govern the use of electricity. When you don't obey the laws of electricity, something's going to happen. You get a new do. you never want to pee on an electric fence. I know that from experience. The Holy Spirit is a force. He can do things. What made man a living being? When God created the first man, what made him a living being? Genesis 2:7. God breathed the breath of life. Did you know that God's breath is the Holy Spirit? And God's breath makes things alive. God breathed into Adam, and he became a living soul. Okay? What did Benjamin Franklin discover? You know, he believed that electricity was real and tangible and could be handled. So he attached a key to a kite or whatever, however he did it. And the result of his experiment revolutionized the world. And then man began to study the laws of electricity and apply them. Now, how many believe in the power of the Holy Spirit? So we should be studying the laws of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't Romans 8 say, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus versus the law of sin and death? There is a law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. There are ways that we can cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Did you know that you are already wired for the Holy Spirit to flow through you? You already are equipped. You're like this building. Behind these walls, there are wires. And they're connected to a power source. And they have a switch. And when you turn that switch on, whatever that power is used for, it'll come on. Same thing is true with the Holy Spirit. When you're connected to the Holy Spirit, you're connected to His power, and He can operate through you. The Holy Spirit, He is dynamic in power, and His power is enough to save every man in the world, to heal every sick person, to heal them of anything, of any degree. He can raise the dead. There's nothing He can't do. So we got to believe that. We have got to put our faith in the power of God. Isn't that what Paul said? I didn't come to you with eloquent words of man's wisdom, but with power of the Holy Spirit and the demonstration. God loves to demonstrate His power. So the power of the Holy Spirit will do for you what it has done for anybody else in the world. But you have to come to God with earnestness and sincerity and the faith to lay hold of His power. Did God use ordinary people to raise the dead? Wasn't the dead raised with Peter and with Paul? Remember Paul? He preached his last sermon. He preached so long that a guy fell asleep and fell out the second story window. They went and prayed for him. He raised from the dead, and he went preaching again. So let's get into how we can work with, how can we cooperate? Amen? God wants His church to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Go with me to Galatians chapter 3. Book of Galatians chapter 3. We're probably just going to camp here for the rest of the night. Because we got to get this. Let's start with verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth. What prevents people from obeying the truth? Just think about that for a minute. Why don't people obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth and crucified among you? There were some things that were entering into the Galatian church that were deterring them from the truth. Okay? You know, if the devil can't get you to stop believing in the truth, he'll give you an alternative. The devil certainly doesn't want you to believe in the truth. Because if you get a hold of the truth that he's under your foot, he cannot bully you or harm you or do anything against you ever again. Because you can tell him where to go. And that's true. God's given us power over the devil. Amen? Amen. But look at verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Let me ask you this question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law or by faith? You mean you cannot be such a Bible scholar and obey every letter of the law to get the Holy Spirit? No. Everything that you get from God comes by faith. By faith is the only way that you, faith is an exchange. You exchange your faith. You exchange what you believe. Your trust in God, you exchange it for his power, his provision, his peace, his joy, his deliverance, everything, his salvation. It all comes by faith. Same thing with the Holy Spirit. So he goes on to say, so, look at verse 5. He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit. That word ministers, you could also say supplies. He who supplies you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? It's really pretty much the same question, isn't it? Does God work based on your knowledge of the Word? How much you know? He works by how much you can believe. Wasn't there several times that Jesus asked people who needed healing, do you believe that I can do this? So that he works by faith. Now, God who supplies the Spirit and works powerfully and miraculously among you, a key to cooperating with the Holy Spirit is to hear the gospel and believe it. To take the phrase that by his stripes you are healed. You simply believe that, and guess what? Power will be there to heal you anytime that that sickness tries to come on you. Right? So, there wasn't a disease that Jesus couldn't handle. So this is a key. You got to be able to hear. And you got to be able to believe what you hear. And you got to make sure that what you're hearing is the truth. Don't go, if you're confronted with the devil, don't say, because Pastor Doug said so, I cast you out. No. My word cannot cast out the devil, but God's word can. When Jesus was tempted with the devil, he said, it is written. He simply quoted what God said. He didn't answer the devil's question. Guess what? The devil doesn't have a right to ask you whatever. You just have to tell him what God says, and that's the end of the discussion. okay? Look at verse 3. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? You know, many people, when they get saved, they have a zeal for God, a passion for God. They're excited, but then something happens. Yeah, they began in the Spirit, but then they start to rely on the flesh, on their experience, on their laurels. They began good, but now they're relying on something else other than the Spirit. They're relying on their own ability. Listen, once we begin in the Spirit, we got to stay with the Spirit. You cannot, the Bible says, put no confidence in the flesh. So God supplies you abundantly, freely, and liberally with His Spirit. You know, God never said regarding His Holy Spirit, a little dab will do you. Matter of fact, He spoke of being filled with the Spirit like being drunk. Now, you don't get drunk with just one drink. Some of you might, but it might take a few drinks to get you drunk. See, God wants you so full of the Holy Spirit that you're intoxicated with His presence and that you're oozing with His power. That's how filled we need to be. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God to overflowing. And we got to stay with the Spirit. You know, it's like a marathon. You began, but you're running out of steam because you're relying on yourself. You got to rely on the Holy Spirit. You got to keep relying on the Holy Spirit. What Paul was saying was, he said that the receiving of the Spirit is not just a one-time experience, but it's a work that's going on in progress. I'm being filled. Guess what? Do you realize that the same people that got filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts 2 were also the same people that got filled again in Acts 4? Because when you give out what you receive from God, you can go to God and get more. So that you can keep yourself full. What do you guys do with your gas tank? You know, you go to the gas station, right? And you put some gas in your car. And you have a gauge on that car that lets you know when it's time to go to the gas station again. Amen? Well, when you start to feel weak, or when you start to get angry, and when you start to lash out to people, guess what? You're running on empty. You better come to the filling station, and you better get full of God again. Okay? You connect with the Holy Spirit by how you live, how you learn, and how you obey. You can't live any way that you want to and connect with the Holy Spirit. When you come to God, you have given your life over to the Lord. He now becomes your Lord, right? You don't just allow the Holy Spirit to operate in you, you submit to His leadership. That means now you're not doing what you want to do anymore. Because the way you connect to the Holy Spirit is how you live, how you learn. Isn't He the teacher? Is there anything that the Holy Spirit doesn't know? He knows all things. Aren't you glad that you have a teacher who not only wrote the book, but He knows all things? So you can ask Him questions. You know, when Jesus would speak to crowds sometimes, He would talk in parables, right? And when he spoke in parables, people didn't know what he was saying. But the disciples, when he was done speaking, they'd be together by themselves, the disciples and Jesus. And you know what? They would say, Jesus, what did you mean by this? Then he told them the meaning of the parable. And see, that's what we need to do with the Holy Spirit. See, when you hear something taught or you hear something preached and you don't understand it, you can ask the Holy Spirit to show you. Teach me. Show me. See how you learn. Are you teachable? Some people think they know more than the Holy Spirit. That's foolish. And how you obey. Other words, how you yield to the Holy Spirit. When he says, do this, how quickly do you do it? If you don't do it quickly, then you haven't fully surrendered. You have to recognize that the Holy Spirit is the leader of your life. Look, Jesus left the Holy Spirit when he went to heaven. It was the last thing that he gave to his disciples. He said, wait in Jerusalem for the promise of my Father. And normally, when you give someone a last gift, it's your most important gift. Is it not? The last thing that Jesus gave to us is the Holy Spirit. So, how you live will affect how you hear. What's the first part of the Holy Spirit's name? Holy. So when you have the Holy Spirit in you, what does that make you? Holy. Bible says, be holy for I am holy, right? So when we live unholy, in unholy ways, how do you think the Holy Spirit feels about that? Or when he tells you to do something and we don't do it. He's grieved. And you know what? He's a gentleman. Guess what? If the Holy Spirit tells you to do something and you have established a habit, I'm not talking about missing it one time. I'm talking about continually. Holy Spirit tells you something, you continually refuse. You rebel. You don't obey. You don't do what he says continually. You know, the more you disobey the Holy Spirit, the harder your heart becomes and the harder it is to hear God's voice. And if we don't hear God's voice, guess what? Who are we relying on? And guess what? We're going to be candidates to be deceived. Because only the Holy Spirit, he's the Spirit of truth. And when you're connected to the Holy Spirit, you're going to be brought into all truth. He's going to show you the truth of things. Let's go to Galatians 5. Let's go to verse 16. Galatians 5:16. What are we doing? We're learning how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Why do we need to cooperate him? We need to cooperate him so that God can do his work on the earth. God's got to work for us. We're supposed to please God with our lives. And we cannot do God's work without the Holy Spirit. Just like Jesus couldn't do the work without the Father. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Does that give you a choice? What are your choices of how you can walk? You can walk in the Spirit, or you can walk in the flesh. You can respond the way the Holy Spirit wants you to respond, or you can respond from the flesh. You can live in the flesh or you can live in the Spirit. Did Jesus make it possible for us to live in the Spirit? Absolutely. I'm taking my time and I'm repeating myself on purpose. Because this is important. We need to know how to cooperate with the Holy Ghost. If we want to see God do a work in this area, we're going to have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Okay? So the flesh can interfere with the working of the Spirit. Your flesh will compete with the working of the Holy Spirit. God says at midnight, I want you to pray. Your flesh says, tell them I'm tired. God says, go lay hands on that person. Your flesh says, tell them I don't feel like it. God says, I want you to go witness to that person. Your flesh says, I don't know what to say. Now you have a choice. Whose voice are you going to listen to? If you're controlled by the Spirit, you're going to go witness. You're going to go lay hands. You're going to go pray. Because when you're controlled by the Spirit, your flesh doesn't control you. Come on. You must submit to the Spirit's influence and leadership in your life. He is now in control. You're not. You can choose to be controlled by God's Spirit or be controlled by your own natures, your own nature. See, you have to allow your life to be regulated by the Holy Spirit. You have to let Him direct you. You need to live in accordance with the way in which the Spirit tells you to live. But when you do that, you walk in power. You'll experience God's presence, and in His presence is fullness of joy. And I want you to know that God's burden is easy, and His yoke is easy, and His burden is light. God will not put on more on you than what you can handle. There is flexibility in God. Amen? There's no flexibility in the law. The law is rigid. The law, no one can achieve all the law. All the law, the purpose of the law was to show you that you need a Savior. But when you notice, when you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the desires of the flesh or the lust of the flesh. In other words, who do you strive to satisfy? Your flesh or the Spirit? The word satisfy means to fulfill or gratify. And desires, lust can be a desire of any kind, good or bad. And see, when the Bible uses the flesh, it speaks of the part of humanity that doesn't submit to God. You have to make your flesh submit. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 9, I, talking about his Spirit, the real me, I keep my body under. I, talking about the Spirit of Paul, the real man, I bring it into subjection. So we got to train our body. We got to let our body know that the Spirit is in charge. Amen? That's how we cooperate with the Spirit. Your spirit has been made whole. It's been made new. You're a new creature. Your spirit has, God infused your spirit and your soul with the nature of God. You have the nature of God in you. Your spirit is perfect. Your spirit is perfect. Your flesh has to be subdued. Your mind has to be renewed. But that's when we do this, we're going to cooperate, collaborate. We're going to pool our resources with the Holy Spirit. And when we do that, we're going to see miracles. You'll be going into Walmart. You'll be shopping. And someone will walk by you. They might just get slain in the spirit. They just might get knocked out. Amen? Or you might have opportunities to pray for people as you go out and about in your sphere of influence. When we live a spirit, listen, we have the opportunity to be spirit-filled. David said this in Psalm 23. He said, "The Lord anoints my head with oil," representative of the Holy Spirit. He said, "And my cup runs over." When you're anointed with the Holy Spirit's oil, your cup's going to run over. You're going to flow over. And when you flow over, that's when your life will affect others. That's when you will impact others. You'll walk into a place and you'll make demons nervous. They'll scream. Jesus walked into the synagogue and the devils go, "Oh my gosh, he's here!" Why? Because Jesus was full of the Spirit. And when you're full of the Spirit, get this, when you're full of the Spirit, you won't be deceived. You can't be deceived when you're full of the Spirit. Because you're going to be full of the Spirit of truth. When you're filled with the Spirit, you're full of power. That means when you lay hands on the sick, power is going to go out of you and make them well. All God needs is your hand. He needs a hand that's full. See, God fills you. He fills your mind. He fills your hand, your fingers, your feet, your mouth. So that everything you do, the Holy Spirit's power will go forth from you. That's how full we need to be. If we want to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, let me just read a little bit further quickly. For the flesh, verse 17, lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Praise God. If you allow the Holy Spirit to lead and to lead you and to govern you, you're not under the bondage of the law. That means you're free. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what?
Liberty.
Freedom, liberty. Hallelujah. I want to live a free life. The only way I'm going to do that is if I am full with the Holy Spirit and connected with Him, cooperating with Him. God needs people to intercede for the lost. Where are the Abrahams that would stand in the gap for a city? Where are the Jonahs that would go and warn a city that God's wrath is coming? If you don't get your life right, you're going to be destroyed. Where are the Elijahs that challenge 400 prophets of Baal? Say, come on, we're going to show whose God is real. Where are the John the Baptist that cry as a voice of one crying in the wilderness, saying, prepare you the way of the Lord? Where are the Pauls that write half of the New Testament? Where are the Peters that preach on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 people get born again in one service? Where are the Daniels that even though there's a law made that say you can't pray, they pray anyway? Where are the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednegoes that say we're not going to bow to an idol and I don't care if we get thrown into the furnace? Our God is able to deliver us. These were all people that had the Holy Spirit in one way or another. In the Old Testament, He came upon these people. In the New Testament, He lives in us. When God has people like that, you're going to see amazing things. You're going to see the fear of the Lord come on a whole city. The fear of God. But it's all about cooperating with the Holy Spirit. It's about doing what Galatians 5 says. I'm not even done with this. I just got started in Galatians 5. I'm only on verse 17. There's six more verses to go. Nine more verses to go. God wants us. Those that are here right now, he wants you to cooperate with his Holy Spirit. When you cooperate with his Spirit, you'll walk in his divine will. And when you walk in his divine will, miracles, signs, and wonders follow you. You just show up and miracles happen. But we can cooperate with the Holy Spirit. We can yield ourselves. Holy Spirit, I pray. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, and I pray, Lord, that we are in tune with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that we have ears to hear what your Spirit is saying in this moment, in this hour, on this day, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that we can distinguish the voice of your Spirit above any other voice. Father, I thank you that we can walk in power. We have power to witness. We have power to tell people what we've seen, to tell people what we've heard, and to tell people what we know. In the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I pray that we be touched and we be baptized with your fire right now. You know, John the Baptist said he'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And God wants to activate the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. He wants to turn you into a holy flamethrower. And we can cooperate. Father, let us, let this group here tonight, let us be ones that cooperate with you. Say this with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I yield to you my mind, my will, my emotions, and my body for you, for the Holy Spirit to use and to do a work through. I yield to you, Holy Spirit. You're my leader. You're my teacher. You're my life giver. You're my advocate with the Father. You're my strengthener. I do what you tell me to do. I go where you tell me to go. I am who you say I am. And I can do what you say I can do. I give you all of me. I'm not holding anything back. Flesh, you will be subdued. The Holy Spirit's in charge of my life. Because I walk in the Spirit, and I will not fulfill the lust of my flesh. The voice of my flesh is getting less and less where I can hear it. I let the Holy Spirit arise. I'll walk in the fullness of the Spirit. I'll pray in the Spirit. I'll worship in the Spirit. I'll sing in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, if there are some of you that can pray in tongues, I want you just to pray in tongues right now. Why is praying in tongues important? It builds you up. You talk directly to God. You pray out God's perfect will. You edify yourself. And it's a free gift. God gives the Spirit to everyone who believes. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, say, Father, fill me right now in the name of Jesus. Baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire in Jesus' name. Oh, Rabba Sonda Rabba Korobo Kasati Ela Mama. That's the best way to connect with the, cooperate with the Holy Spirit, is to pray in tongues. Hallelujah. You know, the Apostle Paul said, I pray in tongues more than you all. And look at what he did. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we love you, we adore you, we praise you. We thank you for your presence in this place tonight. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We praise you, we magnify you, we worship you. We give you glory and honor and praise. Hallelujah. Some of you just got into a different position tonight. You went from defeat to victory tonight. Hallelujah. Some of you, you got a Holy Ghost afterburner. When you thought you didn't have anything left in the tank, the afterburner kicked in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to your holy name. Praise the name of Jesus. He wants to use you as a billboard to say how much he loves you. He wants to let his goodness shine through you. God loves you so much. The Holy Spirit is like your oxygen tank that never runs out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, yeah, we're cooperating with the Holy Ghost. We preach and pray and prophesy. Thank you, Lord. We lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We do the works of him who sent us. We're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. We're believers. We have access to all of heaven's goods. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name forevermore. Bless the name of the Lord. The Holy Spirit will help you in life. He'll lead you to the right job.
We know where the Spirit of the Lord is.
He'll lead you to make the right decisions in your life. He'll show you the right direction to take. He'll give you the power that you need to accomplish God's will for your life. He'll show you where the fish is that has the gold in its mouth. He'll show you which door he's opened for you. And you'll do great exploits. God will take the ordinary to do extraordinary things, because you combine with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Praise God, praise God. Well, I feel good. Might just say I preach myself happy. Hallelujah. So we're going to continue in this vein next Wednesday. We're going to go a little bit further. And God's going to use us to transform our world. Amen? Got any world shakers in here? Maybe that's one of you. Any world shakers in here? There we go. I mean, you ain't going to shake the world saying amen. Amen. Well, I want to thank you guys for coming. So go and cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Amen. He'll show you, he'll lead you, he'll guide you. And when you get in God's presence, he'll teach you. He'll reveal things to you. He'll show you what's yours. Oh my goodness, I'm not going to get started again. God is so good. Amen. Have a great night.